Guadalupe Radio presents A Christmas Carol.
First Chapter, Marley's Ghost.
On a day not so past from today, upon a gloomy, gray, and haze-ridden street, stood a building with the most dire disposition. The surrounding streets filled with bustling in a variety of ways, from salesmongers calling out into the street to beggars asking for generosity from their fellow humankind. A gentle ambience of street trolleys, horses, and carolers, for it was Christmas Eve, and even in the midst of a frightful cold, there was goodwill and cheer. Goodwill and cheer everywhere you looked, except for the building that stood with a creaking sign waving on a squeaking chain called Scrooge and Marley.
Oh, Marley, my dear old friend. Time be told, I cannot believe it's been 7 years since I placed 2 pennies on your eyes and laid you to rest in the cold, dark earth. You've left me in this wretched land to go wherever spirits go in the end, and yet I can't but help speak to you as if you were still at the desk beside me.
There was no doubt. Marley was dead. He was good and dead. Yes, dead indeed. And, of course, old Scrooge knew this as surely as you know this story. A grave old man at his gray old desk, growling in the most dreadful of ways to a gray old man in an old gray grave. Scrooge was Marley's chief mourner and, in truth, his only mourner. The two had run a financially successful firm called Scrooge and Marley for many a year, and when old Marley croaked, Scrooge never bothered to remove Marley's name from the business sign, yet indulged in watching people's smiles fade as they walked through the door unknowingly asking for a dead man, which happened on more than one occasion.
Serves the buffoon's right to assume to know anything, doesn't it, old Marl?
Scrooge snickered to himself, still talking to Marley in his head.
What was that, sir? Did you need me?
A meek voice from the next room questioned. His voice was tender and softly trembling, for it was a cold, cold day, and Scrooge had only lit the building's fireplace with the most minimal of coals. One for his clerk, and 2 for himself.
No one is talking to you, Cratchit. Mind your business.
Scrooge growled and then proceeded to talk to the clerk.
It's this damn season.
Scrooge yowled from the room next to his clerk's, slowly pacing towards the window, a wide grimace across his face as he watched the people outside.
Christmas Eve. And look at all these fools and hypocrites with their palms out, wanting, wanting, and wanting some more. It's a sour thing to behold. Just once a year, kindness abounds in them. They smile and wave and pretend to care for each other to gain charity in some way. Liars and thieves, the lot of them.
I'm sorry, sir, if I don't quite understand, but liars and thieves? What do you mean? And would you give me the courtesy as to an explanation of your philosophy?
Scrooge's clerk, Bob Cratchit, with nearly frozen, numb little fingers, tried to warm his hands around the candle as Scrooge spoke.
Look at this pitiful display.
Scrooge gestured to a woman standing outside, ringing a bell with a bucket collecting change for charity.
Funds for the homeless. Please open your heart and purse to those suffering this season. Any help at all? Any help at all?
This old fool with their hand out. about. What does she do to earn someone's hard-earned money? She stands in the street, calling out, yelling, begging.
But that woman is a volunteer for charity. As she stands in the cold all day with no payment onto herself, but to selflessly request funds for people in need. It is out of the kindness of her heart, sir.
It's noise pollution is what it is. That woman howls in the street, adding nothing but annoyance. And look here.
Scrooge gestured to another person gathering canned goods.
Please give to the needy. Don't turn your back on your hungry brothers and sisters. There's no need for anyone to starve on Christmas. To starve on Christmas. Please give to the needy. Please give to the needy.
Look at her. As if she really cared about anyone. The nerve.
The nerve? What do you mean, sir? These are sacred acts that remind us to care for each other, to behave with humanity, and to come to each other's aid when we fall upon hard times. Of course she cares. She calls out for hours, behooving the public to meet her generous heart.
Her generous heart? Her generous heart? Bah! Does she welcome these supposed needy into her home and cook a warm meal for them? Does she provide them with shelter and a comfortable bed?
But she is only one person, sir.
One woman who gladly scoops up anything tossed her way. And worse, has the nerve to force it upon others. It's her mission, then let her do it on her own time with her own money.
But, sir, she asks the community to come together in the name of kindness and spirit of...
Spirit of what, Cratchit? Do you see this woman out on the streets any other time of the year? Or that woman with her bucket? Or any of these peasants with their pious hearts and dry palms extended outwards? Do they ever do anything but want? No! All these people want.
Scrooge swung open wide the window, pointing to the people in the streets, wildly exclaiming,
"You're all hypocrites, the lot of you. What do you care for your neighbor on any other day, during any other season? You pretend that people are your sisters and brothers during a holiday, but forget their existence every other day of the year. Do you even give them the courtesy of a smile or eye contact as you pass them down the street? Do you care if they starve or freeze to death any other day? No. You're selfish, a lot of you. You act kindly one day a year to feel better about yourself. To pretend you're good people. But I see you. I know the truth. You're all fakers, liars, and thieves."
The poor clerk's drop jaw was matched by few on the street who had bothered to turn their heads towards Scrooge's rant, and was thankfully interrupted by a hearty laugh from a kind-eyed, jaunty soul making her way into Scrooge and Marley's building.
Oh, dear Uncle, your humor is as bright as ever. Merry Christmas and a delightful holiday to you.
Scrooge's niece cheerfully approached him and attempted a hug, which Scrooge immediately dodged, forming into an awkward shoulder pat and handshake.
Humor? I'm sure I don't know what you mean. This season is one for daft idiots to overspend their means and exclaim merriment without sincerity.
Oh, Uncle, it is a time to pause, reflect, and celebrate our love for each other, spend time with family and friends, and warmly thank the good Lord for the generous bounty of this sacred, beautiful earth.
Beautifully said.
Bah! Humbug!
Well, I've come yet again to invite you tomorrow for a joyous holiday dinner with your family. Dear Uncle, you've not ever met my husband or our children. Christopher just turned 8. I long so deeply for them to know you. How gratefully they would listen to stories of my dear mother that you could share with us all. Please, Uncle. I know you are an important man with many things to do, but we are your family, and you've yet to spend any time getting to know us.
There is no need to indulge in such silly events that only promote foolishness and false hope. Is that truly a message you want to teach your children? Why did you even have them? Or get married, for that matter? You know this world is overpopulated enough as it is.
Uncle, I fell in love with a wonderful and loving man who has helped me raise the most beautiful, kind, and talented children.
Love? You're even more foolish than your mother was. I've no time for such stupidity. Good day to you.
Ebenezer. Dearest uncle, I ask nothing from you but the gift of your time.
Then take this lesson and learn it well, little niece. There are no gifts without expectation. People do not give without want. When you wisen, you'll come to know that there is no true generosity in this world. It is a hard, cold, miserable life, and only those who are self-concerned and take heed to protect themselves survive it.
Mother always asked me to treat you with a tender heart, but I must say, dear uncle, I hope the spirits hold a mirror up to you one day, and you learn to see clearly.
Ah, be off with you.
Adeline sadly said under her breath,
I love you, uncle.
Then turned toward the door, nodding politely to the clerk and wishing him a happy holiday. She then put her smile back on to carry out into the world. As the door closed, two silver coins dropped down the chimney. They clanked through the ash and rolled straight to Scrooge's feet. Scrooge picked them up quizzically, and, as again, the front door opened. He quickly placed them into his pocket. In stepped two slight ladies carrying a small sack with books and papers in their arms.
Good morrow, good sirs. Ebenezer Scrooge and Thomas Marley, I presume.
The first woman smiled as her fingers scrolled down a list. The second woman reached out forward, presenting their charity credentials. Bob Cratchit smiled back and returned to his work as Scrooge frowned and waved away the woman's extended hand.
Mr. Marley has been dead 7 years to this very night. Thank you for the grim reminder. And this one here, he's my clerk and scribe, most certainly not my associate.
Bob raised an eyebrow to the insult, but made no protest. He only worked harder in hopes to leave early and return to his beloved family.
Oh, dear! My apologies, sir. I'll make sure to update our list. I thought from the sign above your door...
I'll thank you to get to the point, madam.
Oh, yes, indeed. We've no doubt his liberality is well represented by his surviving partner.
Scrooge grimaced at the ominous nature of the word liberality.
I am Annabelle Edwards, and this is Beatrix Alexander. We come to you today during this festive season to ask for provisions for the poor who suffer all the more from wanting this holiday season.
Want, want, want. Are there no prisons?
Well, yes. There are plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses, hmm?
Yes, they are still in effect, though I wish I could say they weren't. Those institutions are treacherous, sir. Filled with horrific working conditions, malnutrition, beatings, long hours, and forced labor. Many can't go there, and most would rather die.
So they are afraid of a little hard work to earn their keep? If they had rather die, then they'd better get to it and decrease the surplus population.
These institutions do not furnish good Christian will, but cruelty and hardships worsened. We are a part of the community that has come together to raise funds for the most basic of human needs. To buy the poor a warm meal and coal for the winter's biting cold. The most subtle human comfort.
If these people were more motivated, they'd have never gotten themselves into these circumstances. And it's not any of my business to get involved in theirs. So good day to you, ladies.
Oh, my goodness!
Haven't you even 2 pennies in your pocket to give in the spirit of kindness?
Scrooge looked at the women, perplexed. Feeling the change in his pocket, he slid the copper between his fingers momentarily, then grimaced.
I'll thank you to let me be. Good day.
I'm so sorry to hear you feel this way. Good day.
Realizing their words were falling on deaf ears, the ladies withdrew from Scrooge's dark company and entered into the foggy streets. The ancient tower of a church began to chime its tolling bell, striking Scrooge as deeper and more ominous than ever before. As the hour struck, a chattering in the clouds built, vibrations of cold intensity and misanthropic ice shook down upon the holly sprigs. A distant Christmas carol rang out as a hollow ghost into the street, bringing home a memory to Scrooge he couldn't quite place.
God bless you, merry gentlemen, may nothing you dismay. Rejoice true love and brotherhood, each other now embrace. A blessed angel came to us, brought tidings, love and grace. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
The bell tolled one last time, awakening Scrooge from the eerie scene, and he, ill-willed, cracked up from his stool. The clerk immediately snuffed out his candle and rose to meet Scrooge.
You'll want all day off tomorrow, Cratchit, I suppose.
If I may, sir.
If you may? What a silly thing to say. Are you a child, so eager to return home to a house barely standing and family who you can afford to give nothing to?
I give them the gift of myself, truly and wholly, and build for the children their own gifts made through the labor of love. While my lovely wife cooks a meal of wholesome goods and baked delights they await every year.
Ah, yes, the figgy pudding. The most foolish of all Christmas traditions. Take a perfectly good cake and destroy a brandy upon it, burning the flavor out of both.
The tradition of the figgy pudding is a spectacle delight, sir. A symbol of renewal and opulence into the new year. Burning away the last year and taking pleasure in all that has been gained, while joyfully releasing and relishing the savory morsels.
It's a waste of perfectly good brandy is what it is. All the while, you are robbing me a day of no work, but compensation expected?
It is the only holiday I take each year, sir.
Oh, a fine excuse to take unearned money every December 25th. But, fine. If you must indulge in this ludicrous tradition, I'll expect you here all the earlier the next day.
Thank you, good sir. You have my most sincere promise and most genuine hopes that you have a wonderful holiday yourself.
Bah! All right, that's enough, Cratchit. Off you go.
The clerk smiled and swiftly grabbed his shabby waistcoat, pulling the collar high as he emerged from the dreary building into the cold like a man born anew. the blessing in his heart to soon be in the loving embrace of his family. So joyous was Cratchit that he skipped merrily, tipping his head to each passerby, and even scrounging a penny from his pocket to give the charity woman with her bucket. Not that he had a penny to give, but realizing that he, at least, had a roof over his head tonight and a warm meal awaiting him.
Thank you, kind sir, and a bountiful Merry Christmas to you.
The charity woman sang out while ringing her bell.
And to you. Thank you for your goodwill. Many blessings your way.
Cratchit merrily skipped his way home. While passing a holly tree, he snipped a bit to surprise his wife with. A gentle snow began to fall, and Cratchit's smile widened all the more in the delight of its beauty. Scrooge, watching all this from his window, grumbled under his breath.
What a buffoon, that one. The meager earnings I pay him each week, he still foolishly sees this world through the eyes of a newborn child. A gap with wonder.
Scrooge said these words aloud to himself, but felt the cut of them as they left his lips, a feeling only best described as jealousy. For he had all the money he could desire, but no joy or kindness in his heart.
Bah! Better to get on with this night, then.
Scrooge pulled on his large fur overcoat and opened the door. The gentle snow curled around him, giving his nose a tickle.
Bloody cold misery weather.
Scrooge sneezed and grumbled, waving away the snow dismissively. Almost in response, a biting cold wind slapped his face hard, and he trembled to his core. He tugged his coat tightly as he walked to his usual melancholy tavern to take his usual melancholy dinner.
How will it be then, Scrooge? The usual?
A frail, shabby woman with messy hair walked over to Scrooge as he sat down in the darkest corner of the dark tavern.
Same as usual.
Scrooge glowered back at her, and even though the same woman had been serving him for years, he had never bothered to learn her name. So he ended the conversation there. A soft hum of music filled the tavern, and chatter from the other patrons as glasses clinked and holiday spirits filled the air. Scrooge looked around, grumbling, and was filled with ugly thoughts.
I think I know better than to ask, but wouldn't you rather have some company in a night such as tonight? Haven't you any family or mates to spend your evening with?
Scrooge looked up, almost hopeful she would join him for the meal, and then remembered himself and sharply stated,
I've no desire for any company but my own.
I see. Well, here's your stew and potatoes. I brought you a wee little cake, free of charge. A gift from me to you this holiday. I trust you enjoy your meal.
I've no need for charity. I suppose You expect me to leave you a larger tip then in return,
Oh, no, Ebenezer! As a gesture of goodwill, and hope you see it, I have paid for your meal! I trust you'll feel your belly full and it lifts your spirits into the whimsical night. Blessings to you, man. See the bounty of good people around you and take time to find some joy in your heart.
She was so genuine in her words and tender while saying his first name, it rendered him speechless. She gently bowed her head and walked away to continue with her other tables.
Oh, lovely to see you tonight, Franny. How's your mother doing? I have a seat, love. Hey, shall I bring you a glass to start the meal with?
Scrooge, confused, ate his meal swiftly to return home to sit in his mournful meditation as quickly as possible. But he did, however, delight in the slightest of ways at the cake that was so gracefully offered to him. Scrooge, with a full belly, walked out into the street. It was later now, and the streetlight was dim. Most people had gone in for the night, and their home windows shined aglow with warm fireplaces, candlelight, and a feeling of comfort filled the air. Scrooge scurried quickly towards his looming home, briefly catching the sight of a child, sitting in the cold with matchboxes for sale.
Hello, good sir. Have you a need for any matches this evening to light the way into Christmas and the New Year?
Scrooge scoffed at her proposal and gruffly returned,
I do not.
Oh.
But you best go inside before you catch your death, child. This is no night to be out in the cold.
Scrooge continued his stride, but it didn't sit right with him to have seen such a sight. His belly was full, and hers distended from hunger, with no parents anywhere near to be seen. He again felt the change in his pocket, but shook his head as if to remind himself it was none of his concern. As he walked on, he heard her calling out into the street in a sing-song voice.
Matches for sale, matches for sale. Illuminate your night and warm yourself with light. Matches for sale, matches for sale. Brighten your hopes, find comfort of sight.
Shortly thereafter, Scrooge approached his residence. He lived in the chambers of his deceased partner, Marley, a dreary building fit for financial institutions, but not habitable in the slightest. As he approached the front door, placing his key into the lock, the knocker began a process of change. The face, not of the knocker, but of Marley's. Scrooge squinted his eyes in the fog in disbelief. The knocker was not frightful or angry, but the face, with a look like Marley often looked at Scrooge, with ghostly spectacles, eyes wide open, and hair curiously stirred across his brow.
Phew. What madness is this? Did that waitress put something daffy in my cake? I knew she wasn't without menace. Foolish me for trusting to eat anything after her speech.
Scrooge entered the building, and though he wouldn't dare admit to himself, a terrible sensation had entered his heart. a feeling unlike any other, one he had not felt since childhood. Dread. He paused and decided to check all the rooms, just for good measure. Every room had an echo of its own, each cast into darkness, for darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it that way. Scrooge looked behind the curtains, under the bed, into the drawers, and even his dressing gown, which seemed to have an unfamiliar shape. A slight chuckle in his breath as he almost felt the memory of a childhood game of hide-and-seek. Then, remembering he was indeed no longer a child, and not carrying a button but double-locking the door anyway, he entered the main room to take his brandy before bed.
Humbug. What tomfoolery has crossed me?
He tossed a couple coals into the fire and poured a tall glass from his snifter while settling into his chair. As he threw his head back, his glance happened to rest upon a bell. And with great astonishment and surprise, dread that the bell began to swing. It swung so softly it scarcely made a sound. But soon it rang out loudly, and then did every other bell and chime in the house.
Humbug! My drink has made my mind amiss.
Scrooge roared in defiance to the bells, and in response, the house roared back.
I'll not believe it. There is no primordial ether from another realm.
The doors blew wide open as a large booming sound took way. A thudding sound, growing, something approaching with the most frightening cause for alarm.
It's still humbug. I won't believe it.
And with that, the final door swung open wide. And there, before Scrooge, Marley stood. His long, dark waistcoat flowed to the ground, dripping with metal chains and shredded material. He was laden with heavy purses, keys and cash boxes wrought in steel. His body so transparent, Scrooge could see the two buttons on his coat behind. Scrooge had often heard that Marley had no bowels in life, but he never had till now believed it. Staring at the phantom before him with death cold eyes, Scrooge could barely utter a word other than,
"How?
You don't believe in me?"
"I cannot.
I was once your partner in life, and now in death I come to you. Take heed, Ebenezer. I do not travel lightly."
"Yes, your chains gave that away."
"I wear the chains I forged in life. Each link in the iron cable, a reminder of every life rendered harder from my existence. I carry the weight not as a burden, but as a reminder to the deeds I did in life."
"But why, Marley? Why do spirits walk the earth?"
"It is required of every being that the spirit within walk amongst their fellow men, traveling far and wide, and if that spirit does not go forward in life, they are condemned to do so in death."
"But you have been dead 7 years long. Have you been traveling all this time?"
"The whole time. No rest, no peace. Incessant torture of remorse."
"Remorse? But Marley, you are always a great man of business.
Business?
Cried the ghost while wringing his chained hands. He clamored a great frenzy that sent Scrooge's face white.
Money is not the most noble of deeds to acquire. Mankind should have been my business. Common welfare, charity, mercy, and kindness. This is the trade that now rules my existence. Hear me, Ebenezer! My time is nearly gone!
The ghost rumbled his chains again, and Scrooge dropped to his knees, grasping towards his phantom friend.
Take pity on me, Spirit. Tell me what you know. You were always a good friend to me.
I have watched over you, Ebenezer, in hopes that you escape my fate, passing you opportunity if only you were to grasp it. I sent you coins from beyond the grave to give in charitable ways, only to watch you pocket them. I sent carolers and family and the kindness of strangers, only for you to treat them with suspicion and disregard. Spirits are angry with you, Ebenezer, and they will have you learn or be done with you for good. You will be haunted.
I'd rather not.
Silence! They are sending you three ghosts. They gift you this chance. One that was not afforded to me. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger. Without their visit, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. They will come to you on the hour and show you the way. Pay attention, Ebenezer. Do not let your bitter heart and pride be your ruin.
The apparition walked backward from him. At each step, the windows facing the street raised a little. Mesmerized, Scrooge followed him. Marley held up his hand and let out a tormented wail as he evaporated into the night's fog.
Open your eyes to the world around you. Take heed, Ebenezer. Take heed.
Ow!
And with that, he was gone. Desperate with curiosity, Scrooge looked out. The air was filled with phantoms. Their wandering music, a ghastly and sullen melancholy filled moan. None were free, but chained as Marley, crying in wretched woe. These creatures, sorrow, a waterfall of misery in the mist shot through Scrooge, images burning into his mind, not ever to be forgotten. Scrooge thought he recognized some of these tragic characters, but their distorted faces had forever lost the visage of their humanity. The mist enshrouded them, and the pitiful cries lingered into the night, looming into an impending dread that sent Scrooge into a frightful hurry to close the window, go to bed, and convince himself that this was all just an awful dream.
End of the first chapter.
A Christmas Carol is an original production by Guadalupe Radio, based on Charles Dickens' story and adapted by Juliette Blasor, with special performances by Addie Daddio, Seamus Dever, Juliette Blasor, Sal Lopez, Michael Soko, Angelina Reo, Eduardo Enriquez, Cynthia Dane, Erica Ortega, Chrissy Guerrero, Jonathan Kelly, Andres Londono, Efraín Figueroa, and Denise Plazor. Graphic designer, Marta Naranjo. Recordings, Rafael Valdez and Gerardo Nevarez. Editing, Juan Matos. Original music, Marcos Loya and Juliet Plazor. Script supervisor, production and direction, Denise Plazor. Executive producer and director, René Heredia. A Christmas Carol.LA, all rights reserved.